Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Botti in Washington. Today is Thursday, January 4th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. The Sierra Leone government charges a former president with treason.
He's a very strong man. He is resolute, and he's prepared to clear his name. He has become president once, and he was re-elected on the second time. He has no reason to be involved in a coup.
We'll get an explanation of the charges from the Minister of Information. Sierra Leone joins four other countries on the UN Security Council. Sudan's RSF leader is open to an unconditional ceasefire through negotiations as he continues his tour of regional African capitals. The U.S. State Department comments on the Ethiopia-Somaliland port agreement. An opposition candidate claims fraud in the DRC December 20 vote. Meanwhile, there has been a last-minute challenge to President Tshisekedi's re-election.
This happened just some hours before the end of deadline. According to the DRC electoral law, the Constitutional Court had to confirm the results of CENI if there is no one who contested it 2 days after.
Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. In Sierra Leone, one of the lawyers for former President Ernest Bai Koroma says the charges against the former president are political and without foundation. This after he was charged Wednesday with treason and other offenses for his role in the November 26, 2023 alleged failed coup. Other charges include misprision of treason or concealing knowledge with treasonable acts and two counts of harboring. Lawyer Ade Makaule tells me former President Koroma has no reason to overthrow the government, having already served two terms. Makaule says Koroma is prepared to clear his name.
The former vice president, Dr. Ernest Bai Koroma, was indicted on four counts of treason, misprision of treason, and abhorring persons allegedly involved in the commission of the attempted coup. So that is what we were before the magistrate today.
Where is the former president himself?
I can confirm that he is back at his residence in Godrich.
You were in the courtroom. Was the former president, did he enter any plea?
He did not enter any plea. It's just formalities of the charges being read. It is a preliminary investigation. It's a PI. So a plea is not necessarily taken at this stage.
We know the former president was being interrogated. Does this mean now that the government has found reason that he was directly involved?
Well, the government has indicted, but based on the charges read before the court, these are charges without foundation. So I cannot safely say they found a reason to charge. If there is any reason, then it's political.
What do you mean political?
Well, we are in a political game. As you will recall, the former president during the past elections, on two separate occasions, the present president of the Republic, Julius Maada Bio, made references to him and promised to deal with him and reduce him to nothing. So we believe that he is paying heat.
So what's the next step now?
Well, it is left with the prosecution team. We are back in court on the 17th, and they've promised to bring in witnesses, and we look forward to hearing what those witnesses have to say. But we are very much confident that they have nothing to say that will implicate our client in the charges put forward by the state.
Before I let you go, how would you describe the former president's mood? I mean, how is he feeling right now?
He is a very strong man. He is resolute, and he is prepared to clear his name. He is not only a national states person, he is an international states person. Don't forget that he has presided over the supervision of elections on behalf of the international community in the Gambia, in Kenya, in Zambia, in many other places. So he is a formidable man of high integrity. He has become president once, and he was re-elected on the second time. He has no reason to be involved in a coup to be president again, because he cannot legally be president as per our constitution, having served two terms.
Ademakole is one of the lawyers representing former President Ernest Bai Koroma. He was speaking with us from Sierra Leone's capital, Freetown. Sierra Leone's information minister has been explaining further the charges against former President Ernest Bai Koroma, who was charged Wednesday with treason and other offenses for his role in the November 26, 2023 alleged failed coup. Other charges include misprision of treason and two counts of harboring. Information Minister Cherna Bah clarifies to me that misprision of treason is the crime of concealing knowledge of treasonable acts.
So treason, obviously, I think is well known, that's efforts to overthrow a democratically elected government. Misprision of treason is simply you being aware of those efforts and you fail to notify appropriately in the state authority. So that is also a crime under the laws of Sierra Leone, and it's one of the things that you've been charged. Harboring, when you are holding fugitives, people who are wanted by the state and they are kept in your premise with your knowledge. And the process for him to answer to those charges have started. He was arraigned today in front of Magistrate Court Number 2 in Freetown. His lawyers made a representation. Because of the court that we were in, which is the Magistrate Court, the powers for such don't reside in that court, so they had to get a justice of the High Court who offered him bail under similar conditions that he's been held for the past couple of weeks when he's been helping with the investigation. So he's effectively to stay in his premises. He has a prescribed number of people who can visit him at a time. Any movement he wants to make, he has to seek and get the express permission of the institution of police. And then he had to provide additional sureties as well.
I guess we are going to know more during the trial, but I guess these charges are coming from the government's investigation of the former president, because he has been under investigation for the past, since November.
He's definitely been under investigations, and charges have been brought against all those for whom the state is convinced that we have gathered sufficient evidence to bring charge. Those who the state doesn't have evidence for are either being let go or serving as witnesses on a different instance. And in this case, again, the state filed charges yesterday against 12 individuals, including Amadou Koita, who was the first accused. And so this is just the second of indictment that the state is making in the courts of Sierra Leone.
Any idea when the trial will start?
The courts adjourned to the 17th of January, and I can confirm on that date the Republic of Sierra Leone, through the Attorney General's office, is ready and is looking forward to start bringing its witnesses forward.
Cherna Bah is Sierra Leone's information minister. He was speaking with us from the capital, Freetown. Sierra Leone and four other countries, the Republic of South Korea, Guyana, Algeria, and Slovenia, have taken their seats on the United Nations Security Council. VOA's David Vandy tells us more.
The Sierra Leone's permanent representative to the United Nations, Ambassador Michael Imran Kanu, said his country will pursue its priorities based on partnership and a representative approach to sustain global peace and security, and to make more significantly, the Council take meaningful action and timelessly in maintaining international peace and security, underlying the utility of regional arrangements and regional ownership. Since becoming a member of the United Nations in 1961, Sierra Leone has had one term on the Security Council, that is from 1970 to 1971. And this will be the second time for Sierra Leone to serve in the United Nations Security Council General Assembly. The president of Sierra Leone, His Excellency Julius Maada Bio, in June, after winning the seat, tweeted, "Our presence on the United Nations Security Council represents our unique success as a democratic and peaceful country of resilience and unbounded optimism, one that successfully transitioned from war to peace while working in partnership with the United Nations, a country no longer defined by the stigma of the past. The Security Council consists of 15 countries, including five permanent members. Sierra Leone and the four other countries on Tuesday officially began their two-year terms on the United Nations Security Council as non-permanent members. The flags of the five newly elected member states for the 2024-25 term were ceremonially installed. This marks the official start of their tenure on the Council. For VOA English to Africa Service, I am David Vandy in Washington.
I'm James Butt in Washington. Today is Thursday, January 4th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, it appears that it could be a while before the re-election of President Félix Tshisekedi can be certified by the country's constitutional court. This after one of the losing candidates in the December 20 elections, Theodore Ngoe, who came last in the results, filed a late petition Wednesday to the court challenging the results. Reporter Al-Katanti Sabiti Jaffa is in the eastern DRC city of Goma. He tells me that the Elections Commission, also known as CENI, has also postponed the announcement of the results of the parliamentary elections.
Thank you, James Badi. We have 2 points as latest regarding the election in DRC. The first one is the postponement of the results of the parliamentary election, which has supposed to be today, but the Electoral Commission called CENI had postponed it and didn't say which day this will happen. The second point is the request sent by one of the presidential candidates, Mr. Theodore Ngoe, to the Constitutional Court to do not confirm President Félix Tshisekedi as the winner of this election, as according to him, there was a lot of irregularity in the organization of this election. This happened just some hours before the end of deadline. According to the DRC electoral law, the Constitutional Court had to confirm the results of CENI if there is no one who contested it 2 days after. So now we are waiting for the decision from the Constitutional Court to know if they consider the request of Theodore Ngoe. If not, they will proclaim and confirm President Tshisekedi as the winner of the 2023 election.
What can you tell us about the presidential candidate Theodore Ngoe, who submitted the petition to the Constitutional Court?
Theodore Ngoe is known as well in the political sphere of DRC. First of all, he's one of the biggest lawyers in the country, and he's pastor of an evangelical church here. He was candidate in 2011 against Kabila. He didn't win. And this time, he was one more time candidate. And he said God himself asked him to run for the president because Tshisekedi was not the good president of this country. According to the first results of CENI, he got 0.02% of voices of DRC.
What is the position of the main opposition candidates? I'm talking about Katumbe, Fayulu. What are they saying? Are they also going to challenge the result?
Moise Katumbi did a communication on social media, and the video was shared via different platforms calling people of DRC to do not accept what CENI is doing. According to him, Tshisekedi didn't win election, but Moise Katumbi won elections, and he calls people to demonstrate, to do not accept what is being organized by CENI. He also called partners of DRC to help Congolese people to get their real right, to get the president which they voted for. And Martin Fayulu is also doing the same. Martin Fayulu called for a demonstration 2 days ago, but the government of DRC didn't allow that demonstration. This means that many people will be demonstrating, and we don't know how will be the situation in the future days.
That was reporter Jafal Akatanti speaking with us from Goma, Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Observers of the Democratic Republic of Congo's election have called the December 20 vote flawed and chaotic. Opposition candidates have labeled the vote as sham and are demanding a rerun. The country's election commission said President Félix Tshisekedi won in a landslide. Opposition candidate Martin Fayulu tells VOA's Carol Van Damme the commission violated the law and claimed that Tshisekedi supporters stuffed ballot boxes.
They organized fraud and not the election. Election should take place in one day. They did it in 6 days. That would be against the law. When you finish the election, the witnesses should be there and you have to count the ballot. They didn't do that. And then you have to send the result to a center. That center has to send it to the Electoral Commission so they can publish the result that it come from the center. They didn't do that. They sent the result through the machine, and nobody knows exactly what is in there. That's why I'm saying that we didn't have election, but we had a prepared vote that Mr. Kadima, the president of Steny, showed to people, to Congolese and the foreigners.
Is it still your position that there should be a rerun?
Yeah, we should redo the election because we should set up a new electoral commission. What about the amount they have spent, $1.3 billion or $1.5 billion US dollars? Because if we don't do that, the opportunity cost will be higher because the legitimacy of the Congolese institution are questionable. We have to rerun the election so the Congolese people can exercise their sovereignty and choose their own leader, the leader they want. Because what Mr. Steny, the Electoral Commission, did is just to make a revenge.
Is it your belief that Tshisekedi himself had a hand in this, that what you believe was a violation of the law and in some respects purposely having massive logistical problems on the first day of the vote?
The logistics problem was needed, was to be arranged, because if they knew that they had that problem, why? They didn't postpone the election for 7 days or 10 days, because the Electoral Commission could have asked the Constitutional Court to postpone the election for 7 or 10 days. Was possible, and then they could have sent the machines, the equipment everywhere in every polling station, because they knew that they needed many days to stuff the boxes, what they did.
Do you believe that protests in the streets is the answer at this point, or what do you think should happen next?
Yeah, but protest in the streets is the answer because it is admitted by our constitution. But the only limit of the protest is Tshisekedi has armed the militia in every town in Congo. Tshisekedi has put the policemen, the soldiers against demonstration. And the people of Congo, they always afraid about the military and about the shooting. That's the problem. But the problem is this, even if you don't see the mass for demonstrations, but you have what we call here a passive resistance. The lack of democracy, the lack of having the real winner or the people chosen by the population.
DRC opposition presidential candidate Martin Fayulu was speaking with my colleague Carol Van Damme from Kinshasa. The U.S. State Department has made its first comment on this week's agreement between Ethiopia and Somalia's breakaway region of Somaliland, which grants port access to landlocked Ethiopia. Here is State Department spokesperson Matthew Melo.
Yeah, we did see those reports. We were concerned by them. We join other partners in expressing our serious concern as well about the resulting spike in tensions in the Horn of Africa. We urge all stakeholders to engage in diplomatic dialogue, and the United States recognizes the sovereignty and territorial integrity of the Federal Republic of Somalia within its 1960 borders.
We see concerned by them, concerned by the deal between the Ethiopians and the Somalians.
And the resulting spike in tension.
Do you think that the deal should be rescinded? Is this something that you don't...
We think all the stakeholders should engage in diplomatic dialogue to resolve the issue.
That was State Department spokesperson Matthew Melo speaking during Wednesday's briefing. Sudan's paramilitary Rapid Support Forces RSF leader Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo says his group was open to an unconditional ceasefire through talks with the Sudanese army. Dagalo has been touring regional capitals and was in Kenya on Wednesday. A nine-month war in Sudan, which now forces the world's largest displacement of crisis, has devastated the country's infrastructure and prompted warnings of famine. Efforts to end the conflict have led nowhere, Sudanese analyst and researcher Jihad Mashumu tells viewers Caravan Dem that RSF leader Dagalo surfaced in public only recently.
Hameti, before he started this meeting, he did have regional tours, as you accurately mentioned. And those tours was done in order to gather more support before him having a meeting with Lieutenant General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, who is the commander-in-chief of the Sudanese armed forces, his main enemy at the moment, and the chief of state by de facto, the head of the Sudan Sovereign Council. The reason why Hameti wants to bring these leaders into IGAD, the regional country that he's been visiting, is because he wants to ensure that Lieutenant General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan would fulfill any commitment that he agrees to in the agreement. If that thing happens, and if I may emphasize this, Carol, I mentioned if the emphasis on if, because there are many scenarios that show many realities that shows that Burhan would actually not go to that meeting. And those are as follows. The first one, if he goes to that meeting, there is a possibility of him facing a coup d'etat from his own generals. There are some generals who have shown that they're not willing to negotiate with Lieutenant General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo Hameti because he rebelled against the state.
You know, the leader of the RSF had said early on that his RSF forces would fight to the death. And now he's talking about being, you know, available for an immediate ceasefire negotiations. Do people take him sincerely when he's talking to these Sudanese civil leaders and others?
That's a great question. Many don't really see the sincerity of, from my reading of the situation, many don't really see the sincerity of either side wanting a ceasefire. And either side will always logically say they want a ceasefire, a permanent ceasefire, because they need to have credibility in front of the international communities, regional public, the international communities. I have to emphasize, they're listening more to the concerns of regional powers and the international communities rather than the Sudanese people themselves. That's why they're going for these meetings, initiatives with the regional powers. Al-Burhan, if you recall, before Hameti reappeared again to the scene, he had his own regional tours, and basically that regional tour was to make him powerful.
To appear more statesmanlike?
Absolutely, yes, to appear more statesmanlike. And Hameti decided to do the same thing before meeting Al-Burhan. So they're all trying to gain credibility. Hameti went a step further in order to gain credibility by signing with Taqaddum, the civilian front that is headed by former Prime Minister Dr. Abdullah Hamdok.
That was Sudanese analyst and researcher Jihad Mashamu. He was speaking to my colleague Caravan Dem from London. And that's it for this Thursday, January 4th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for being our guest this morning. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Butte in Washington, saying, have a great day, and please be safe, whatever you do.
The Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.